oven tasting, where people can go around and taste all the different dishes. Come and taste the various dishes and discover your favorite recipe. And they are also chefs are wanted for that event, which is going to be November 16th, which is a Saturday. You can go to the Find the Hillview Recreation Area on Facebook to get information, or you can go to mycountyparks.com and then pull down the Plymouth County tab, and then you'll be able to get all the information on that. If you want to either just show up, take part of it, or if you wanted to be a chef, you got to let them know that you're going to be there so you can share your favorite Dutch oven recipe with the rest of the people. November 26th, which is a Tuesday night up at Hillview Recreation Area, they are going to have another event involving Dutch ovens. It's going to be Dutch ovens and winter decor. You're going to create and decorate one-of-a-kind wreath and learn how to cook a meal in a Dutch oven. And the activity is for ages 16 and older, and ages 10 to 15 with an adult present. The cost is $40 for the project and includes dinner for one, and $5 additional per person after that. The space is limited to 20 projects. There again, mycountyparks.com, pull down the Plymouth County tab, or you can call 712-947-4270 and ask for Victoria, and she'll get you signed up for the Dutch ovens and winter decor event. Saturday, January 18th, they have an event they're calling Becoming an Outdoors Family, and it's their winter fun day. And that'll run from 2 to 4 p.m. on Saturday, January 18th. And bring the whole family out for a fun day at Hillview. They will have activities stations set up around the park for your family to try out. Activities will be determined by the weather and snow conditions that day. I know, like, if they've got good snow conditions, they'll do snowshoeing. They put on a pretty good event for this. And it's $5 per person. Pre-registration is required. And there again, call them at 712-947-4270 to get more information and get signed up. Well, is it? Yeah, we got a couple minutes here before the break, don't we, Scott? Anyway, we got somebody on the line there.
You taking a break?
Are we? Or are we going to take this call?
All right, we'll be right back. 1360 okay. 949 KSCJ.
The weather has taken a turn, and for sure it's going to keep turning colder. You check your closet for the old faithful coats and jackets, and you find ragged cuffs, holes in pockets, or they just don't look too good anymore. They've all seen better days. Well, Bomgars and the Salvation Army have teamed up to help you spruce up your insulated outerwear, even the things that just don't fit anymore. Today, all day, at the two Sioux City stores, just bring any old coats, jackets, or winter overalls, and you'll get a 25% off voucher for any outerwear item in the store. And if you bring in cleaned up old outerwear in good shape, we'll donate it to the Salvation Army on the spot. So trade in your old outerwear for 25% off new outerwear in stock today at both Bomgar stores in Sioux City. Don't miss it.
What you need when you need it at Bomgar's.
A Step in Time Florals is celebrating their 14th anniversary. It's a week of celebration and savings starting Monday, November 4th through Saturday, November 9th. Everything is 14% off store-wide, including the beautiful holiday decorations, gifts, and plants. Plus, greenhouse items are all 50% off. They'll have door prizes, snacks, and refreshments, including Kathy's Hot Cider. Open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and Saturday, 9 to 4. Celebrate 14 years and counting at A Step in Time Florals at 3230 Stone Park Boulevard in Sioux City.
It's our little gift, a step in time.
Tis the season to eat, drink, be merry, and shop. You can do it all November 12th at Christmas on the Mez. Shop your favorite small businesses, plus find some hidden gems. Food trucks in the parking lot. Cash bar starting at 5 and free admission. You can grab a drink, enjoy great food that you didn't have to cook, shop the great vendors, and support your Sioux City Community Theater. It's Christmas on the Mez, 1401 Riverside Boulevard, November 12th, from 5 to 8. See you there.
Big John. Big John.
Every morning at the mine, you can see him around.
Well, looks like I should turn my microphone on. We got Don on the line. Good morning, Don. Good morning, Don.
Are you there?
Yep,
okay,
I'm here.
Cool.
Well, you want a bison question here?
Sure.
Okay, well, you know quite a bit about them, or?
No, don't laugh if I make a dumb answer.
Well, it's going to be true or false, and...
Okay.
And we won't give you more than two chances. Let's see. Iowa's last bison was killed in 1886. Is that true or false?
Oh.
Are you sure?
No.
Well?
Must be yes, then.
Oh, it is. Hey, congratulations, Don. You got it. You bet. The last one was was killed in Iowa in 1886. So, yeah.
Overdogged.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought it would have been that late in history, but, you know, you look at it, and northwest and northwest central Iowa were, for the most part, were settled pretty late.
I didn't ever think they were buffaloes in this area, ever.
Yeah, traditionally, they ranged from the Rocky Mountains to the Appalachians.
Huh, I'll be darned.
Okay, well, hey, thanks, Don. We got Hunter on the line. We're going to move ahead to him. Good morning, Hunter.
Good morning.
Let's see if we find something. You know a lot about bison, or is this going to be just a shot in the dark for you?
A little bit of a shot in the dark.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Yellowstone National Park is the only place in the U.S. where bison have continuously lived since prehistoric times.
I'm going to go with false.
Are you sure you want to go with false?
Yes.
Oh, well, it's actually true. Yellowstone is the only place where they have lived historically since prehistoric times. Here, let's try another one quick. The bison from Wind Cave National Park in South Dakota are used for reestablishing other herds across the United States. You know, because there's a couple herds here in Iowa. Yeah, true. Absolutely. Yeah. And the Wind Cave herd is pretty much our pure bison. So... that's why they like to use them to reintroduce them in other areas, because most of the bison anymore have cattle DNA in them.
Okay.
So anyway.
Well, is this the only reason I answered false on the other one? Because I know they have a couple of them down in Florida. Like they,
yeah,
they have small herds down there.
Yeah, I wasn't familiar with the Florida herds. So.
I think it's probably independent farmers.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and a lot of them around. I mean, like in Iowa, there's a couple herds. There's one over at the Neil Smith Prairie, which is, I think that's about north central Iowa in there. And then just north of us here up in the Broken Kettle grasslands. And both of those herds are have pure bison DNA, and they had come from the Wind Cave National Park out there in South Dakota.
I learned something new today.
Well, I did too when I was looking up some of this stuff. I wasn't aware of it.
Sure.
So anyway, Hunter, stay on the line and make sure Scott gets your information if he hasn't already got it. So.
Okay.
All right. Hey, thank you.
No problem.
Well, I don't know. I think the lines are open. A couple lines are open. We can get a couple more people in yet today if we need to. If you want to hunt bison, there's a few states that still offer bison hunts. Montana, Alaska, Arizona, South Dakota, Utah, and Wyoming have herds that are managed by the federal government, and they offer hunts to cull the herd to keep it to keep the populations under control there. And the main reason is that they really don't have any predators that will help thin out the populations. I know in South Dakota, I think the only place that they offer the hunts there, you know, as far as the free ranging, what I'll call a free ranging bison, is in Custer State Park. Like I say, they have a herd out there at Wind Cave, but they keep those herds in thinned down because they transplant those to other places where they want to get a herd established. Nebraska doesn't have any free range bison hunts, but there's quite a few places where the game farms will offer hunts in Nebraska. And most of those are like in north central Nebraska, and they're along the, I think kind of along the Niobrara River corridor. And I don't know whether you're going through a game farm or you know, for a hunt on these. The bison are pretty much like they are in the wild. They just kind of, I don't know, they just kind of stand around and eat grass and wait for something to come and drag them home and eat them, I guess. But anyway, we got Brian on the line. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
Well,
I was kind of curious. Do you know what the population of bison is across the U.S.?
Yeah. Yeah. It's currently numbered at more than 500,000, it says, in North America.
Okay.
But most of them are crossed with cattle.
Right.
Here, I'll give you a true or false question here. Fewer than 3,000 are pure wild bison. Is that true or false?
trying to, based on the information you've been sharing with us, stuff like that, you know, because there's such a small herd of it. I'm going to go with true on that one. I mean, I'd like to think that there's more than that, but because there is such a small select group, I'm going to say that's true.
Yeah, it is true. That's the information I got, was fewer than 30,000 are pure wild bison in the conservation herds around. And even fewer, about 5,000, are in unfenced and are disease-free, which would be like the unfenced ones would be the herd at Yellowstone and then Wind Cave there in South Dakota also.
Wouldn't it be neat to go back in time and to see the massive herds of way back when? I think that'd be neat.
Oh, well, yeah, you know, before the U.S. Government pretty much that was their way of getting rid of the Native Americans.
Right.
Was to take away their food source. And I mean, because by the time they decided that they had to have mass scale genocide on the Native Americans, they were all pushed out onto the plains anyway. And that was their sole, pretty much their lone source of food was the bison. And
yep.
So you'd go out and get rid of all of them. And I don't know. By about the
1880s. It's just one of those animals that's kind of a majestic animal, you know?
Yeah, it is.
And you know, in movies, they kind of give it a certain mystique about them and stuff. And it's because it's just, I think more people aren't as familiar with them. I mean, everybody knows what they are. But yeah, in movies, they kind of put a sort of mysterious mystique about them, you know? And I think they're a neat animal.
Absolutely. So. We got time for one more call, Scott. Can we get that in or we might not make it? We've got about a minute left here. We're gonna try one more call, Brian. So.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for calling in. Stay on the line, though, if Scott didn't get your information already, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we got Gary on the line. Good morning, Gary. Are we there, Scott? Good morning, Gary.
Good morning.
Hey, we got about 30 seconds here.
What's the only two animals that cancer's never been found in?
Well, I'll guess one of them's a bison, and the other one I'd go with a cockroach.
Shark.
A shark. Awesome. I did not know that.
Yeah, that's why they're such good, you know. What's the other thing is what dictates how long bison's hair grows?
That I don't know.
Sunlight.
Really?
Yeah, I love bison. I usually butcher one about every 3 years.
Oh, the meat is very good, and it's very lean, too.
I love it.
Hey, well, did Scott get your information already, Gary? Because we're going to end up running out of time, and I don't want to cut you short here.
Yeah, so. I'll have to put you on hold, but hey, Brian, call me back. I hung up on you.
Oh, awesome. Way to go, Scott. Anyway, hey, real quick. Bison were nearly extinct by the 1880s, and as few as 1,000 remained by 1889.
That's true.
Hey, so stay on the line, Gary, and thanks to everybody that called in today, and have a good week.
Well, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
CBS News Update.